Hey there, before we start the show, let me ask you a question. Have you ever found yourself in a conversation about race and identity where you just got stuck? NPR's Code Switch podcast can help. It's hosted by Gene Demby and Shireen Marisol Meraji, and it's a podcast that helps us understand how race and identity crash into everything else in our lives. You can find Code Switch on the NPR One app and npr.org/podcasts. From NPR Music, this is Alt Latino. I'm Felix Contreras. You know, sometimes history needs a little help to fill in the gaps, to tell the stories that sometimes get left out. Like the case of 28 Mexican migrant farm workers who were being deported back to Mexico on January 28, 1948, when their plane went down, killing them and the four crew members. Historical records had the names of the four American crew members, but the names of the 28 workers were never accurately recorded anywhere, and their stories were never told. Until 69 years to the day after they died, this past January 28th. Tim Z. Hernandez is joining us today to talk about his recently published book, All They Will Call You. Tim joins us from NPR member station KVPR in Fresno. Tim, welcome.
Thank you so much for having me, Felix.
Okay, now there are four stories wrapped up in a meticulously researched and well-written book, all right? The stories of the folks who perished, the stories of the song that came from the crash that also became an American folk music standard, the story of the rediscovery of their names and the proper burial they all received, and the story of how you, Tim Hernandez, got involved. But let's start with the music, okay? Because the song sort of tells the story. American folk icon Woody Guthrie wrote a poem about the crash, and eventually it was put to music.
The crops are all in and the peaches are rotting. The oranges are piled in their creosote dumps. You're flying them back to the Mexico border to pay all their money to wade back again. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportee. My father's own father, he waded that river. They took all the money he made in his life. My brothers and sisters come working the fruit trees. They rode the truck till they took down and died. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportee. Some of us are illegal and some are not wanted. Our work contract's out and we have to move on. 600 miles to that Mexico border. They chase us like outlaws and rustlers like thieves. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportee. We died in your hills, we died in your deserts, we died in your valleys and died on your plains. We died neath your trees, we died in your bushes, both sides of the river, we died just the same. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportee. The sky plane caught fire over Los Gatos Canyon, a fireball of lightning and shook all our hills. Who are all these friends all scattered like dry leaves? The radio says they are just deportees. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportee. Is this the best way we can grow our big orchards? Is this the best way we can grow our good fruit? To fall like dry leaves, to rot on the topsoil, and be called by no name except deportee. Goodbye to my one, goodbye Rosalita. Adios mi amigos, Jesus and Maria. You won't have a name when you ride the big airplane, and all they will call you will be deportee.
Pete Seeger singing Deportee, Plane Rag at Los Gatos, recorded in 1967, and that's the story we're going to tell today. Tim Z. Hernandez is with us to talk about his book, All They Will Call You. And Tim, the song pretty much tells a story of what happened, and we'll hear more about the song itself later. But first of all, fill us in on a few more details about the people who lost their lives in that crash.
Yeah, essentially what happened was that reportedly 28 Mexican nationals were being sent back from Oakland to El Centro, to the border. They were being deported. And some of them were part of the Bracero program at the time. Others were just here working, and as they were being sent back, the plane crashed down here in Fresno County in Central California in a place called Los Gatos Canyon. And when the newspaper reports came out, it only mentioned the names of the four crew members and referred to the Mexican passengers as deportees. And of course, this outraged Woody Guthrie at the time. And Woody Guthrie ended up writing a poem about it. And in his poem, he attempts to restore the dignity of those passengers by assigning them fake names. And so that poem, 9 years later, went on to become a song. And of course, the popular song that we just heard.
Having heard the song, now we understand why you titled the book what you titled it.
That was just the most compelling part of Woody Guthrie's lyrics to me. You know, all they will call you will be deportee. And I wondered, who are they? You know, let's explore the they that he is referring to. They that use words like deportee. They that use words like illegal alien. And of course, what they call you. In this case, the names that were lacking. You know, the names that have been omitted for 69 years now. So it was a reclaiming of these names.
You know, I have to say that some of their listeners may know that I lived in Fresno for quite a long time, like almost 25 years, and spent a lot of time driving all over the valley. And in fact, spent some time going out to Coalinga, the small little town in West Fresno, near where this plane crash happened. And I guess I, like so many other people, thought it happened somewhere else, probably up north near the Bay Area, because I think there is a town called Los Gatos up there.
That's right.
I didn't realize it was Los Gatos Canyon, and I had no idea until I started reading stories about your work that it was actually Fresno County.
Which then is obviously is where my own investment got sparked, and I suddenly realized that this is a story that needs to be told.
So the stories you tell are about the people that were on the plane crash that were never identified. Talk to us about how you were eventually able to put names, correct names, identify all of the victims, and then you found some of the families of the victims.
Yeah, the first step was really, my curiosity is what, got the best of me. I just wanted to know who they were, the names, that's all, because they weren't in those newspaper articles as I read them. And so I went to I found out by one of the newspapers that they were buried here in Fresno County at Holy Cross Cemetery. So I came out to the cemetery. I stood up there on that cemetery ground, and it was a mass unmarked grave for a larger part of those 6-7 decades. But at some point, and there's no record of when, but at some point someone put a placard on there, and the placard was still anonymous. It says something to the effect of 28 Mexican nationals who died in a plane crash buried here, or, buried in January 28, 1948. And so it was still very anonymous, but just standing there, I felt the gravity of how sad and unfortunate it was that these folks died without having their names told, their names, out on a headstone. And so I approached the cemetery director, Carlos Rascon, and I asked him if he had a list of the names of the people that they buried there in 1948. He was a new cemetery director, and he said to me, I'll take a look. So he comes back a couple of weeks later, and he says to me, unfortunately, I said, I found the catalog, the file that it should be in. He says, but where the names typically go, it actually just says Mexican National 28 times. That's the image you see on the front cover of my book. It just says Mexican National, all the way down in the cemetery records. And so he and I talked about, going to the Hall of Records. So he did. He went to the Fresno County Hall of Records, and he retrieved the first list of names, which was the first, middle, and last. But he and I recognized right away that some of the names were erroneous. They were the official Immigration Naturalization Services manifest, is what it was. And, you know, some of the names were spelled phonetically. And according to this list, there were three women, Mexican women, aboard, and not just one like I had thought. And so there were some errors there. But it wasn't until I would find the first family, the Ramirez family, here in Fresno, the descendants of two passengers, Ramon Paredes Gonzalez and Guadalupe Ramirez Lara. And this Ramirez family, they had been doing the research for, since Jaime Ramirez was a kid, he'd been asking and doing the research and gathering documents about his family members. So when I found them, he literally handed me a packet that included photographs, letters that the passenger Ramon Paredes wrote home to his wife. It included, and then it included this newspaper, this Spanish independent newspaper called El Faro, that was only printed here in Fresno in 1948 for the Mexican community. And that newspaper was the key, because it had a list of every passenger's name who died in that crash. It listed where in Mexico they were from, and it listed their surviving family members. And that's how I began my search for these families. I knew I had enough information to at least locate maybe a few of them. And I ended up locating the family of five of the Mexican passengers.
We're going to be taking a break for music right now, but we're going to do something different. We're going to play different versions of this same song because it has become such an iconic song, and so many people have done it. And everyone has a different interpretation, but the story remains the same. So that's what we're going to do special this week. Do you have a particularly favorite version?
Well, my favorite of all of them is the newest version that's been recorded by Lance Canales and The Flood, because it's the version where, you know, he redoes the arrangement so that, I mean, it's just, you know, he's the son of migrant farm workers, and he does it wonderfully. And then in the background, I'm whispering the names. So for the first time, we hear that song with the actual names of the passengers being whispered.
So this is the version of Deportee, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos by Lance Canales and The Flood. And we want to remind listeners that you can go to our website at npr.org/altlatino and check out the video because it's very, very powerful.
Rolling and the peaches are rotting. The oranges are piling, creosote dawn. They're flying me back the Mexican border. Pay all my money way back again. Goodbye to my wine, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus y María. No, we won't have a name when we ride the big airplane. All they will call us is the deportee. Brothers and sisters come work in the fruit tree. They rode the big truck till they took down and died. We died in your hills, we died in your desert. We died in your valleys, we died in your plains. We died beneath your trees, we died in your bushes. Both sides of the river, we died just the same. Goodbye to my wine, goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, Jesus y María. We won't have a name, we ride the big airplane. All they will call us is the deportee.
Part of my one goodbye, Rosalita. Adios, mi amigos, es Susy Maria. Though we won't have a name, we ride a bigger plane. All they will call us is Lucky 14.
That was Lance Canales and The Flood with their version of Deportee. One of the things that astounds me is that practically all of the families that were in Mexico, there was no closure. They knew that they died, but they didn't even know where they were buried. They didn't know that some of the family members, their bodies were so blown apart by the accident that they weren't even interred all in the same pieces. You know, there were so many. It's just a big, open, gaping hole.
Yeah.
A wound, I guess, that just stayed there. And eventually, some of the family members sort of recovered from that. But that's what astounded me most, is just that idea that there is no information coming from this side of the border on that crash.
No, none at all. And, you know, that was, I mean, like, one of the people I got to interview was a woman named Caritina Paredes Murillo. And she was her father was Ramon Paredes. You know, when I sat down with her for the first time and I said, you know, tell me about your father, she immediately burst into tears and she had to compose herself. And then she said, you know, I remember just being a child, and every time my father would return from Los Estados Unidos from working, he would always come with a bouquet of flowers for my mother, and he'd be singing this beautiful song. And I said, what song is that? And she said, La Valentina, I'll never forget. And that song it's a powerful song that she sings, and she began to sing it for me, actually. And, you know, just this kind of it's not even a nostalgia, but it's really almost a reliving of the moment for her, you know. And here she is now at age, I don't know, I think she was 72 at the time. And, you know, just this sort of look in her eyes and on her face was, as she sang the song to me, was like she was reliving it in that moment as she was telling it. And so, you know, it was very powerful, I think, process, not just for myself, obviously, as the story gatherer, but really for her as the child who had lost her own father and didn't have that closure.
Valentina, Valentina, rendida estoy a tus pies. Si me han de matar mañana, ¿a qué me maten de una vez?
That was the voice of Caritina Murillo singing a song that she said her father sang to her mother when she was a child. You recorded that when you interviewed her about her father, who was one of the 28 who perished in that plane crash. Now let's talk about the marker for the mass grave site that you were able to help coordinate. It feels like it was a form of closure for the families of all the people who were on board that plane. And for the farm workers, you finally gave them an identity, and you also gave people a place to go to help people pay their respects after so long.
Yeah, you know, it was certainly, like as you put it, a closure for the families. But for me, it felt more like an opening at that point, an invitation. The way that got going was I had been collaborating with Lance Canales, and we kind of just had this point where we looked at each other and we realized, you know, we should find out what it would take to put these names on a headstone. And so we kind of made a pact there and shook hands and said, let's get to work on that. So when I returned to Fresno, my research continued. I went to the cemetery director, Carlos Rascon, and he and I stood there over the, you know, unmarked grave. And I asked him, I said, if I can confirm the names, what would it take to put them on a headstone? And he said it would take two things. It would take money and approval from the bishop. And I said, great, I'll work on the money. You work on the bishop. And so we actually did lead a very grassroots fundraising effort, calling people, Lance going to concerts, talking about it, fundraising, me online and, you know, through a website. And so we ended up raising $14,000 from donors all around the world. People from Australia and Italy donated and, you know, of course, all across the country. It was just a great grassroots movement. We raised the $14,000. And on Labor Day of 2013, we installed a headstone, a 4x8 granite slab now, over the site, the burial site. And it says in Spanish and English the story that what took place on January 28th. And then it also has the names of all 32 passengers, not just the 28 Mexicans, but the four crew members as well on that. And then around the headstone are 32 leaves for the 32 lives that were lost, but also for Woody Guthrie's lyrics when he says, who are these friends all scattered like dry leaves? The radio says they are just deportees.
And now let's talk about the song itself. It started out as a poem, correct?
Mm-hmm. That's right. It was a poem that Woody wrote in 1948. It's non-existent practically for 9 years. Nobody knows about it, really. And then a young college student in Colorado, in Fort Collins, Colorado, by the name of Martin Hoffman, he finds this poem. No one knows how he found it, but it comes across his radar. And Martin turns that poem into a song. After he writes this song, writes the melody for it, Pete Seeger is visiting, doing a tour of Colorado, and Pete Seeger is there in Fort Collins. They tell Martin Hoffman, why don't you play that song for Pete, the one that you wrote about Woody's deportee song. And so Martin starts to play the song for Pete Seeger there. Pete Seeger listens. He jots down a few notes in his notepad, and he leaves. And a couple of months later, Martin Hoffman gets a letter from Pete's agent, Harold Leventhal, and it's basically saying, it's signed here. We want to, Pete wants to record the song, and he wants to give you co-credit with Woody Guthrie for it. And Pete went on to record it. And after that, of course, when Pete Seeger not only recorded it but played it everywhere, it just caught on. And then we had, Bob Dylan and Joan Baez and a lot of other folks, Judy Collins, all recording that song.
And here is another folk music icon, Joan Baez, doing her version of the song.
The crops are all in and the lettuce is rotting. The oranges are piled in their creosotes. They're flying them back to that Mexican border. Pay all their money and wait back again. My father's own father, he waded that river. They took all the money he made in his life. My brothers and sisters came working the fruit tree. They rode on their truck till they lay down and died. Goodbye to my Juan, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesús y María. Some of us are illegal and others not wanted. Our work contract's out and we've got to move on. There's 600 miles to that Mexican border. They chase us like outlaws, like rustlers, like thieves. Died on your hills and we've died on your deserts. We've died in your valleys, we've died on your plains. We've died neath your trees and we've died in your bushes. Both sides of that river, we've died just the same. Goodbye to my Juan, goodbye Rosalita. Adios, mis amigos, Jesús y María.
That was Joan Baez doing Deportee, Plane Wreck at Los Gatos. Okay, finally, Tim, what does this incident say about history? About how things like this get left out of the quote-unquote official story And does it mean that we have to be active participants in telling our own histories?
Yeah, absolutely. You know, I'm a big fan of the Nigerian author Chimamanda Adichie. And, you know, one of the things she talks about quite often is the dangers of the single story or the single narrative, you know, and we hear a lot of that. That's what's out there trying to be perpetuated, you know, the idea or the story or the narrative of what it means, of what immigrants do and don't do in this country, you know. And so for me to have a book like this and to have a lot of other writings, we start to look at, you know, other narratives, not just the single narrative that's being perpetuated, but the real story, the nuances of what it means to be human, of what it means to be a person of color in this country. One of the things, though, that I am a big advocate for are oral histories. You know, Studs Terkel he's one of my idols. And of course, here locally in Fresno, we have folks like Dr. Romeo Guzman, who's doing an oral histories project. You know, the more that we share our stories as a community, as neighbors, as friends with one another, the more that we collect them and even document them, you know, the more we're able to tell our own history, and then the more difficult it becomes to be erased from history then, you know, to be omitted, almost becomes impossible if we're the ones sharing our stories, if we're the ones documenting our stories.
Tim Z. Hernandez, thank you so much for coming in and talking to us about your book, All They Will Call You.
Thank you so much, Felix. Appreciate it.
Thanks to my pals at member station KVPR and good old Fresno for their help this week. We want to remind you that you can hear several versions of the song Deportee, Plane Crash at Los Gatos, on our website at npr.org/altlatino. And don't forget social media. You can check in with us on Facebook and Twitter. We are NPR's Alt Latino. And of course, you can always find Alt Latino on the NPR One app. That's NPR-O-N-E. Now we're going to close the show with one of my favorite versions of the song. This is a band called Los Super 7, and it's an all-star group that includes members of Los Lobos and the legendary Flaco Jimenez on accordion. This is their version of Deportee, Plane Crash at Los Gatos. I'm Felix Contreras. This has been Alt Latino. Thanks for listening.
The crops are all in, the peaches are rotting, the oranges are piled, they're Creoles so dumb. They're flying them back to the Mexican border to pay all their money to wade back again. My father's own father, he waded that river. Took all the money he made in his life. My brothers and sisters come work in the fruit fields. They rode in the truck till they took down and died. Goodbye to my one, goodbye. Adios, mis amigos. deep.